33. Jesus had been crucified. Jesus been crucified and he was raised again. Bible says the woman came to the graveside and they were wondering, how will we be able to do what we are going to do? Who is going to move away the stone? Bible said God moved the stone. God rolled the stone away. So Jesus is alive. He has been alive for a number of days now, because this, our text, John 21, Brother Fisher read this morning, our text is just about the time when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. And just a few days later would be Pentecost. So Jesus had been raised for a while. The text tells us that this is the third time that Jesus was about to reveal himself unto the disciples. And what it does is that it helps us to understand how he revealed himself to the disciples. The fashion. But I want us to go back in our minds for a bit. I want us to look a bit at 1 Kings chapter 19. We might not read it, but 1 Kings chapter 19, you will know this section of scripture, 1 Kings 19, 1 and following. The Bible tells us that this is the episode where Elijah, by the power and the might of God, defeated the 450 prophets of Baal. He not only defeated them, he annihilated them, he destroyed them, he killed them by the power of God. But what I want us to look at is this. Having done this, the Bible says that when Ahab went home and told Jezebel what Elijah had done, Jezebel sent a message to Elijah and said to Elijah, I don't know how he got the message, how the message was sent. I don't know if it was a text message. I don't know if it was email. But the Bible says she sent him a message. She said, listen, by this time tomorrow, you'll be dead. Meaning that she was going to kill him. Now what happened? Elijah hearing, getting this message, the Bible says Elijah shut up shop, closed the doors and put up his sign, gone hiding. Huh? This man, who by the power of God defeated 450 men, one woman, was afraid of one woman, one little woman. When God came to him on the way, the Bible says, God says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, well, you know, I was afraid. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. And so I've gone hiding. God said to him, listen, you need to go back home. Get back home. I've got more than 7,000 who have not bowed the knee. Don't think it's you alone, man. See, sometimes we think it's us alone. Sometimes we think we are alone. God says, you got over 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee. So God says, go back home. Then there is our friend, Jonah. God came to Jonah and God says to Jonah, I want you to go to that great city Nineveh. Tell them, I'm going to destroy you. Jonah took a ship. You know the story. Jonah took a ship. He closed up shop, took a ship going the opposite direction and put up his sign saying, gone sleeping. Bible says when the storm arose on the sea, he didn't even know that there was a storm out there. That's how he was sleeping sound. That's how he was comfortable doing the wrong thing. Gone sleeping. When they came and they found him at the bottom of the ship sleeping. Sleeping on the job. Gone sleeping. We get to our text. Our text says, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Nathaniel. It says these men were together, and Peter says, I am going fishing. Huh? Lock up shop. Gone fishing. Put up his sign. I'm gone fishing. And the other says, we will go with you. John writes and John says, they toil all night. Caught nothing. Caught nothing. In the morning, just before sunrise, Jesus came. And when Jesus came to the seaside, Jesus cried out to them, children, you caught any fish? You ever wonder why Jesus called them children? You know, in all my years of preaching, I don't really recall people really discussing or trying to dissect why Jesus called them children. We spend more time in this text talking about how Jesus said to Peter 3 times, do you love these more than me? That's what we spend time talking about. Jesus said, now remember, these men weren't children. They weren't children. In Luke chapter 5, the Bible tells me this, that when Jesus, starting from verse 1, Jesus were at the seaside, and there was this boat, these boats there, Peter, James, John, his brother, Andrew, Nathaniel, these men, and the text tells me that they were partners in the business. So they weren't children. Children don't have business. They were partners, so they are big men. Not only that, but the Bible tells me that Peter had a mother-in-law. In order to have a mother-in-law, you must be married. Huh? It's not like today where Hollywood, people have mother-in-law and they have been married. Here, the Bible says he had a mother-in-law. Paul says, do I not have a right to have a wife just like Peter? Means that he was a married man. Children don't get married. But Jesus came to the seaside and Jesus said, children. Now the text doesn't tell us exactly or explicitly why Jesus called them children. But as you get into the text, you recognize and you understand. If you're reasoning what God is giving us, if you reason out, you'll understand why Jesus called them children. Understand it. You know, Brother Mitch, you know, children, picnic. You teach them to do things. And you leave them and you say, okay, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And you leave. And when you leave, you turn, as soon as you turn it back, instead of doing what they're supposed to be doing, what you leave them to do, what they do, they start playing. And they're doing all sorts of things you didn't tell them to do. What we call them? Hard-headed picnic. Hard ears. Huh? Hard ears. Oh, your ears so hard. I leave you to do this. And you're not doing it, you're going to do something else. Jesus come. The Bible tells us this. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, round about verse 18 and 20. Matthew chapter 4, 18 and 20. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when he first met Peter, James, John, Jesus came to them and he saw them mending nets, washing their nets. And Jesus said to them, follow me. Follow me. Why? I will teach you how to be fishers of men. Huh? Teach you to be fishers of men. In other words, Jesus says, listen, follow me and I'll teach you how to fish for souls. Huh? That's the job. Fishing for souls. And the Bible tells me this in our text. The Bible says, Peter says, I'm going fishing. Jesus came to the seaside and Jesus said, children, have you caught any fish? Oh, we have toiled all night and we have caught none. I can just imagine Jesus in his mind saying, you're right. You haven't caught any because you're fishing for the wrong thing. It's not what I called you for. 3 years, Jesus, been teaching them. And for 3 years, Jesus been telling them, listen, not going to be with you all the while. You're going to have to fly out of the nest one day. You're going to have to get with the job one day. I'm not going to be here all the time to take care of you. You're gone fishing. But Jesus says to them, cast your net on the other side. Cast your net on the other side. Now this would be probably strange. I know today, if it was we today, you know, sometimes we always talk about, you know, if it was me in that time, you know, I would have done better. I would have done this and I would have done that. Listen, if it was we today, you know what we'd be saying to Jesus? Didn't you hear me say we were toiling all night? And we didn't catch, you think we didn't put the net on that side? What are you asking me to do again? Huh? Come on, we're keeping it real. Keeping it real. That's who we are. We'll be arguing with Jesus today because guess what? We are sophisticated people. Huh? We are up in time. We are smart people because we got smartphones. We are smart people today. So we'll be arguing with Jesus. Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. So if your net was on the right side, your right side, not my right side. Cast it on the other side, the left side, your left side. The Bible says they cast the net on the right side, on the other side, and they couldn't pull up the net. They had to call for the other boats to come and help them. And the Bible says, the text tells us, John, the beloved, said to Peter, Peter, it's the master. It must be the master. Can't be anybody else. Can't be anybody else. Must be the master. Peter, hearing that it's the master, the Bible says, Peter grabbed on, put on his clothes because he had stripped just to do the work. And he put on his clothes and he jumped in the sea and he went to the master. This time, Peter didn't say to him, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come walking on the water. No. Peter in his mind is saying, urgent, got to get to the master. Came to the master. And the text says when he came to the shore, Jesus had a fire going, and on the fire there was fish. Bread. Huh? There was fish. There was bread to eat. And no man dare ask him, where did you get your fish? Can you imagine if somebody had asked him, Jesus, where did you catch your fish from? I can just listen to Jesus saying to them, just like God said to Job, where were you? Where were you when the worlds were formed? Huh? I can just hear Jesus saying to them, can you make like Leviathan? Huh? Our Bible here, this book, John, begins with the words, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is nothing made that was not made by him. No man dared ask him, where did you get your fish from? Think about this, bringing it real. I don't know where you go to get your, buy your food from. You want to go to Boston, get some jerk pork? Or I don't know if they still do Hellshire to get some fish, or Old Harbor Bay, wherever. You're going to buy your jerk pork, jerk fish, whatever. Think about this. These men came on shore. Jesus had a fire going. And wherever you go to buy your thing, and when you go there, it's not the normal person who you normally buy from. Guess who you see? Jesus. Huh? And Jesus got a fire going. And on the fire, you see him got there some red snapper. Huh? Steam fish. Okra. Huh? And he has there fish soup. Huh? And on there, he's got some festival. And bummy. Now, forgive me if I'm messing with your appetite now. But Jesus has fish on there. Escovede fish. Huh? He's got some conch, if you like conch. Conch soup. Huh? And he's on there, for those of you who like that thing, you know, that thing there. He got jerk pork on there. And jerk chicken. Yeah. And he's got some ackee and salt fish. Yeah? And you know, Brother Mitch, back in the day we used to get corn pork and we cut off the skin and we fry it up and cook it up with the ackee. And that tastes good. Young people don't understand that. They don't know that, Brother Mitch. They don't know that. They don't know that. Right? Old time people would say, they're my young bird, them don't know storm. Right? But Jesus have that there. Huh? And then Jesus says to you, sit and eat. Huh? Sit and eat. All of that food is there. Jesus says, sit and eat. Brother Mitch, I don't know how fast you can run. But by the time Jesus finished saying, eat, I would have a plate filled already. And I'm eating. I don't worry about the sitting. I wouldn't worry about the sitting. I'd be eating. And you know how it go, Brother Mitch. You all know how it go. When food is nice, because that must be good food. Nice food tastes good, really good. You know when food tastes good, when food is nice and people enjoying the food. You know you don't hear them talking, all you hear them, humming. Huh? Food nice. And I know that must taste good. Why? Because Jesus make it. I know it must taste good. Must be the best tasting food in the world, because guess what? If Jesus can take little ordinary water, I make the best tasting wine in the world. Why do you think he would do it jerk chicken and jerk pork? And you know how it is today. We are supposed to watch our diet and our health. So you know it's real organic food him giving us. Huh? No additive, no preservative. It's not fat, it's just right. Because God make it. Jesus says, sit and eat. Sit and eat. And the text Brother Fisher read for us this morning It says, after they had ate, Jesus came to Peter. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love these more than me? Do you love these more than me? A lot of people, three times he asked that question. A lot of people wonder, why did Jesus ask Peter three times? Peter, do you love these more than me? And we go into all sort of trying to figure out and to dissect why Jesus asked Peter three times. And some people would say, well, you know, Peter denied Jesus three times, so Jesus asked him back three times. Why? Do you love these more than me? I beg to disagree on that. I don't agree with that. And here's why I don't agree with that. The Bible tells me this. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34. The Bible says, God says this, I will forgive their sins, their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Listen to this. When God forgives us, doesn't remember it. Doesn't remember it. He doesn't remember. You see, God is not like you and me. God's not like you and me. You and me, we have a little fuss. And you come and you say, Brother Philip, you know, I'm sorry. And I say, all right, yeah, I forgive you, but I don't forget. Huh? Human beings. That's who we are. That's how we do it. We are human beings. All of us do it. I forgive you, but I don't forget. We say we forgive, but sometimes we say we bury the hatchet. But guess what? When we bury the hatchet, we put a marker. Huh? We put a marker where it is. We draw a map to where we bury the hatchet. So if I do you something today, you do me something today, and you come back and say, Brother Philip, forgive me. I say, sure, I forgive you. But tomorrow, you do me something again, I go back and go dig up the hatchet. Huh? That's how we are, human being. We go back and we hold it over each other's head. So every time you do me something, I tell you, say, oh, remember you didn't do this last week. Or 5 years ago you didn't do this. Eh? That's not Jesus. That's not God. God says when I forgive, I forget. Understand this. Paul writing in the book of Romans. And as Paul writes in Romans, Paul talks these words, he uses these terms, justification, sanctification, righteousness. Paul said, God justifies us. We receive justification from God. You know what the word justification means? It means just as if I had never sinned. When God justifies us, he makes it as if we had never sinned before. It's forgotten. It's a new leaf. It's a new beginning. A new starting point when he forgives us. So if we sin tomorrow, yesterday's sin does not count to tomorrow. Because he forgave us. So some people say, well, you know, Peter denied Christ three times, so Jesus is... No. This, the Bible says, is the third time that Jesus is revealing himself to the people, to the disciples. That means that Jesus would not have had to come at the third time to rebuke Peter. When Peter denied Christ, Peter asked for forgiveness. The Bible says when the cock crowed, he went out and wept bitterly. Repentance. Repentance. God forgave him. This is the third time that he's seen Jesus. So Jesus asked him three times, do you like these more than me? Has nothing to do with that. I'm going to tell you why Jesus did it three times. Then we sometimes, you know, as preachers, we talk about, we dissect this text and we talk about love. Huh? Jesus asked him twice, do you agapeo me? Agapeo. Do you love me more than these? And Peter answered Jesus, I phileo you. In other words, Jesus asked him, do you love? Peter says, I like. Why would Peter answer him that way? Jesus asked him, do you love? And Peter says, I like. And then we dissect this. Luke chapter 5. Brother, you want to read that for me? Luke chapter 5. Let's read Luke chapter 5, and let's read some verses in there. Luke chapter 5, reading from verse, let's read from verse 4.
Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught.
Watch this.
And Simon answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night.
Hold it there. You hear that? Where did we hear that before? In our text, John. Hold on now. But this can't be the same time. Can't be the same occasion. Because Luke 5 is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. John 21 is at the end. Huh? You see that? So this is two times that it's happening, twice, the same thing. So in John 21, when Jesus came and says, put your net on the other side, no question is asked, because what? Happened before. Read on.
And have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish.
Oh, go ahead.
And their net broke.
Yes, sir.
And they beckoned unto their partners.
Partners.
Which were in the other ship.
All right.
That they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink.
Now watch this. Go on, read it.
When Simon Peter saw it.
Watch this.
He fell down at Jesus' knees.
He fell down at Jesus' knees. And what did he say?
Depart from me.
Depart from me. Why?
For I am a sinful man.
Oh, hold it right there. You see, Peter is not one of these heighty-tighty guys who believe that he's a cat's pajama. Peter was a humble guy. He was not prideful. He understood his limitations. Huh? Peter understood his limitations. When this happened, Peter recognized right away that he is not fit to be in the presence of God. Depart from me because I am a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence. But Jesus, understanding who Peter is, Jesus recognized the potential that is in Peter. Jesus took Peter under his wings. It was Jesus who said to Peter, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Jesus took him under his wing. But Peter knows his limitation. But yet still, if you understand, and there's so much time that we talk about Peter and we say things about Peter, we don't recognize who Peter is. Peter is a guy who knows his limitation, but yet still he's always willing to learn something. He's always, even if he's putting his foot in his mouth, but he's always there and ready. When Jesus asked, who do men say I am? And they say, well, you know, some say you are a prophet. Some say you are this. Some say you are that. Jesus said, then who do you think I am? Peter, thou art the Christ, Son of God. thou art the Christ. When they were in the boat on the seashore, on the sea, and Jesus came walking towards them on the sea, and the Bible says Jesus would have walked by them. And they cried out and said, because they thought it was a ghost. Who jumped out of the boat into the water? Peter. Peter. And let me tell you this. Peter did better than I would have done that day when Jesus asked him, do you love these more than me? Huh? Listen, let me tell you, keeping it real. If it was me, wondering why Jesus asked him three times. If it was me, understand, Jesus probably would have had to call my name three times before I heard him the first time while I'm eating that meat, that food there. Huh? Food tastes so nice. I'm still licking my finger. Finger licking good. I'm so caught up in the food. Caught up in the wrong thing. Huh? Our Bible class this morning. Excellent job by Bible Myrie. Caught up in the wrong thing, paying attention to the wrong thing, that I don't even hear Jesus calling me. But at least Peter heard and Peter answered him. Huh? Jesus says, feed my sheep. Listen, and we worry about how many times Jesus asks Peter this question, and we are focused on the wrong thing. We are focused on the wrong thing. We are focused on how many times. Three times Jesus asked him. We are focused on the word love, agape. We are focused on the word like, or other word for love, phileo. We focus on that. That we don't even see that Jesus Christ said to him three times, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Understand this. Three times Jesus asked him this thing. Three times Jesus said, feed my sheep. The Jews had an idiom. They had something that they did, which comes from God. God said to the Jews, he said, at the evidence of two or three witnesses, at the evidence of two or three witnesses, you do so and so. The fathers took it a step further to say, if we say something to you two or three times, it means you need to pay attention. Pay attention. Jesus says, we are two or three are gathered together. There I am also. Huh? There I am also. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love these more than me? You see, what Jesus was doing was presenting a kind of parable. He was presenting a kind of parable, a symbol or something to highlight and to point to something that was important. What's important? Feed my sheep. Huh? Why do you say that, Brother Philip? Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 6. Paul writes to the Galatian brethren, and Paul says to them, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you to another gospel. But there is no other gospel, but there be some who would trouble you by perverting God's word. Huh? There's only one gospel. But some will trouble you by perverting God's word to make it appear as if there are many gospels. But watch this. Watch this now. Paul says, if I, Paul, If I, Paul, or an angel comes from heaven and brings to you any other gospel other than that which you have heard, let him be, that's our new translation says, let him be a curse. The Greek word says, let him be anathema, utterly destroyed. Huh? Then the next verse, watch the next verse. As I have said before, so say I again. If me, Paul, or an angel should come and bring anything to you other than that which you have heard, let him be a curse. Two or three times. Huh? That is Paul using that double repetition. It is to highlight the important stuff. What's the important thing? Only one gospel. Only one gospel. Don't shift. Don't shift. Don't shift. One gospel. There ain't no more gospel. Paul writes to the young man Timothy. Paul says to him, I urge you that you might preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. Why? Because the time will come when no one will listen to sound doctrine. Huh? Where they go about heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want something to tickle their ears, to tickle their fancy. Eh? Putting it in our terms today. They want something that they like, not what they need. Huh, Brother Mitch? One time. Watch this. I gave you two references so far. But I want you to read. Watch this one. In Job chapter 33. Job 33, verse 29 and 30. Young man Eliu, you know the story of Job, three friends. We didn't even know that there was a fourth friend there because he was a young boy, youngster. And as the old time people say, young boy, you keep your mouth. Eh? Young people, big people talking. Don't get involved yet, right? So he didn't get involved until it was the right time to get involved. And the young man says to Job this. Young man says, behold, God does all these things twice, three times. Huh? You read it. Job 33, 29. The young man says, Job, listen to this. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying, Job, because this is important. God does these things twice, three times. Why? To pull you back from the pit. Huh? To pull our souls, he says. To pull our souls, to bring our souls back from the pit, that he might be, that he may be lighted with the light of life. Huh? When we are at the edge, God wants to bring us back. So he talks to us two times, three times, to bring us back. Peter was at the edge. Why do I say Peter was at the edge? Because Peter was supposed to be fishing for souls. Peter locked up shop and gone fish for fish. Wrong thing. Jesus bringing him back, man. Bringing him back. Here's what Jesus was bringing him back. Jesus said, Peter, you need to feed my sheep. In other words, Jesus was saying to Peter, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You don't lock up shop and turn back. Huh? You don't lock up shop and go away because it's tough outside now. The harvest is tough. No. Jesus says to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Pray that we'll have more reapers to go and reap. And we want to lock up shop and go back. We're gone fishing, wrong fish. When the going gets tough, tough gets going. Three times Jesus talked to him. It's like we do it today. We do the same thing today. You go to school and you're in school. And something the teacher keeps repeating something over and over. Huh? And if you're a good student, you understand that if you hear your teacher repeating something over and over, you need to pay attention. Huh? Pay keen attention. Highlight it. Underline it. Huh? Put brackets around it, because guess what? One day you're going to see that same thing somewhere in a test paper. We do the same thing over and over. This isn't something strange. And we say, oh, what kind of strange thing that Jesus do? Like we don't do the same thing. We do things. We repeat things over and over to highlight stuff. To emphasize that you need to pay attention to this. That's what Jesus was doing. That's why I asked him. He said to him three times, Peter, do you understand what I'm saying to you? Feed my sheep. The sheep need to be fed. Just because them crucify me on the cross, I can understand if the next day you are wondering what's going on, what you must do. But the text says this is the third time Jesus was revealing himself to them. That means Jesus has been alive long, long time. Huh? So what are you still worried about? Paul writes to the young man Timothy and says, listen, do you not know that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but one of power? Word power there comes from the Greek word dynamo, from which we get our word dynamite. You know what a dynamite is? Blow up things. Strong, powerful. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. We don't lock up shop. Do you think Peter learned anything? Do you think Peter learned anything about what Jesus said there? Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 2, you know, the Bible talks about the church in its infancy. And in Acts chapter 6, it tells us that the Grecian widows weren't getting the treatment that the Jewish widows were getting. And so there was a problem. And the people came to the disciples, the apostles, and said to them, the Grecian widows not being treated right. Peter said to them, do you think it is right for us to leave the preaching of God's word to serve tables? Find men from among yourself to deal with that, and we will continue to feed the sheep. Peter learned something. Peter says, you get men to take care of this job, and we will concentrate on feeding the sheep. Because Jesus says we need to feed the sheep. Huh? And the going gets tough. Tough gets going. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. Starting at verse 5. Peter says you need to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, kindness, brotherly love, agape. And Peter says, if, that's a supposition, if these things remain in you, huh? If these things remain within you and continues to increase, he says, it make you neither barren nor unfruitful, and you shall be blessed in all your deeds. But if, again, supposition, these things don't stick around with you, you're blind. You cannot see afar off, meaning you're nearsighted. Huh? And above all, You have forgotten that you were purged of your old sins. Therefore, it says, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. But here's what I want you to listen to. Here's a part I want you to take heed and hold to. Peter says, remember, Jesus had to remind him when the going gets tough. The tough gets going. And 3 times he asked him, how many do you like this more than me? Repetition. Why? Because we know, we tell our kids today and we say, repetition. We keep repeat. Guess what? When we repeat a thing over and over, we keep doing it over and over, practice becomes perfect. Peter says in verse number 12, Peter says, therefore I intend always to remind you of these things, even though I know that you know them. As long, he says, as I am in this physical body, I will remind you of these things. Because Peter knew that if Jesus wasn't keeping on reminding him, if Jesus didn't keep on reminding him and keep on him, he'd be fishing on the seashore. Wrong fish. And so Peter is saying to us today, let's get on with the job. Let's get on with the job. You see, it is not the symbols. It's not the little things that sometimes we gravitate to, that we should be gravitating to. What we are supposed to be doing is looking at the message. Huh? It's the message. What is Jesus trying to say to me? Jesus said, keep on saying, no matter how many times he could have asked Peter, 1,000,000 times, do you love these more than me? He kept on saying, feed the sheep. That's your job. It's your job. It's my job. Feed the sheep. Huh? I don't know what might be in your life that you might love more than Jesus. Jesus says, feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. That's your job. That is our jobs that we do 24/7, 365 days a year. Anything else that we do otherwise, that's our part-time job. Our full-time job is to feed the sheep. It doesn't matter if we are a banker, we are a lawyer, we are a teacher, we are whatever. That's our part-time job. Our full-time job is feeding the sheep. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Brethren, if you are here this morning, you're listening to these words. Jesus is still asking this question this morning. Today, he's still asking the question. What do you love more than me? That's really the question Jesus was asking him. What do you love more than me, Peter? Feed the sheep. Jesus don't ask us to do anything that he would not do. At the age of 12, Jesus says to his mother, Mom, why are you looking for me all over the place? Don't you know what I have to do about my father's business? You know that. I mean, today, back in my day, kids said that, you know, boy, who you talking to? Mind your manners. Right? Mind your manners, boy. What Jesus says, got to be about my father's business. Jesus did say, guess why I'm here? Seek and to save those who are lost. If we're following Jesus, then we have to do the same thing. Seek and save those who are lost. We say we're following Jesus, right? We say we're following Jesus. Then we need to do what Jesus did. We need to be about the business of the Father. Over and over, Jesus kept saying, do you not know that I am here to do my Father's bidding? We are here do our Father's bidding. Paul says, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, as dear children, be therefore a follower. Be therefore, follow your father footsteps. Huh? As dear little children. You know, kids like to follow their parents all around. Let us be like that. Follow our Father. If you are here this morning, you're listening to these words, you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins. You've never been baptized. You haven't put on Christ. Jesus says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Today, you hear his voice. Harden not your heart. Paul writes and Paul makes it clear. Paul says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God has been poured out unto all mankind because of iniquity, because of sins. Then he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he says this also. He makes it clear unto us that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And it's not all doom and gloom. But Paul said, know this, that there is therefore no condemnation to those who are found in Christ Jesus. But you've got to be found in Christ. Huh? How am I found in Christ? Well, Paul answers that also. Galatians chapter 3, round about verse 27, Paul makes it clear. He says, for as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you put on Christ, you are found in Christ. When I put on this suit this morning, you can say, I found Philip in his suit. Why? Because I put on my suit. When you put on Christ in baptism, you are found in Christ. And there is therefore no condemnation to those found in Christ. Huh? So if you have never been baptized, today you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. If you have been baptized, you're listening to these words. But as you are listening, you are examining yourself. As Paul says, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourself to see whether or not you be of the faith. If you're examining yourself and you realize that while I am going around, there's something that if Jesus should come today would hinder me from hearing well done. Again, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If there's anything we can do for you, why not come together as we stand and sing our invitation song?